Okay, be turning to Proverbs chapter 31. Father, we come to you this morning and we are encouraged by the songs that we have sung. Thank you so much, Father, for men who have taken biblical concepts, truths about you and the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and put them in such beautiful harmony and melody that we might be blessed as we sing them, trusting that you, Father, are blessed as we have sung them also. We thank you so much for that, Father. Thank you for that ministry that they have had to us. Thank you for those who are still writing good songs that we can learn and continue to worship you. Father, now as we look into your word, we ask your Holy Spirit, whom we have emphasized today, that he would have that ministry of teaching us, speaking to our hearts, encouraging us, and where necessary, Father, convicting us. We commit this time to you. With thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I started last week on Mother's Day a short series that's going to go from Mother's Day to Father's Day, talking about marriage and family. And this is something that is desperately needed because we don't know anything anymore. We used to know what marriage was. Okay? Marriage, everybody accepted, was a unique relationship between a man and a woman where they came together for the purpose of forming a home and having and raising by God's grace children, and now nobody can agree on what constitutes a marriage. We can't even agree on what constitutes maleness and femaleness anymore. It used to be a chromosome thing, Used to be a genetic thing. It used to be a biological thing. And now people say, oh, no, I identify otherwise. And who's to say they're wrong? And some of you are thinking, well, I say they're wrong. Oh, but wait, on what authority do you say they're wrong? That's the issue. We talked about that last week. We talked about that back on the third Sunday of April when we talked about God's plan for marriage. What is our authority? The authority today is whatever you feel like. Because we have thrown out the authority God gave us, and now every man does that which is right in his own eyes, just like in the book of Judges. The absurdity of the modern position is just, it is hard to explain. On the same argument, I could say, you know what? Bald eagles have it really good in the United States. They are really protected. You can't touch a bald eagle or you're in big trouble. I self-identify as a bald eagle. Therefore, I can do whatever I want to do and you can't touch me. You can't stop me because I'm a bald eagle. And who's to say I'm not? On what basis can you say I'm not? If we have no standard of what's right and wrong, what's true and false, what is and is not, if everyone is his own standard, then I can be anything I feel like being. And you can't contradict me. And our society will rapidly decay into utter chaos. It will, because we have no unifying principle. Well, this morning we are going to look at a passage that I know is a favorite for a lot of wives. That's Psalm 31. It's a favorite for a lot of wives because it describes the excellent wife. And a lot of wives are sitting there thinking, oh no, here we go. He's going to hold up this perfect picture of this impossible lady that nobody could ever live up to, and then he's going to, you know, tell us we're all rotten. No, I'm not going to do that. And some of you are thinking, I'm not a wife. Hey, I get off easy on this one. Okay. Maybe you're not a wife, but you know one. And so this can be an opportunity to examine the things that the Bible says a wife should do, a wife should be, and then you know what to commend them for, what to praise them for, what to praise them for. And, you know, if you're not married and looking for a wife, here's, you know, a guideline. But just as important as all of that is, this is a worldview issue. Because our world can't agree on what constitutes a wife. You know? Peter and Fred can be husband and wife as far as the world is concerned. We need to come back to understand, what is a godly wife? What does a godly wife look like? And even though this may not directly apply to you, it's a worldview refinement issue. It is helping us understand biblical truth versus what the world is foisting on us. It is trying to, you know, when you drive your car for a while, just inevitably it gets grime and stuff build up on the windshield, and it builds up almost imperceptibly, usually. I mean, unless you're in a big mud storm or something. But it just builds up a little bit at a time, and then all of a sudden maybe there's a rainstorm and you run your wipers, and if you have new wipers, then they wipe it clean, and you go, wow, I didn't realize how much junk was on my windshield until now I cleaned it again. That's what this lesson today can do. Help us clean our windshield so that we can see not just wives, not just women, not just married, but to help us see a biblical perspective, a biblical worldview more clearly. Okay? So that's kind of my justification for this message for those of you who wrote me off about 5 minutes ago. Okay? When you look at Proverbs 31, verse 1, it says, the words of King Lemuel. All we know about King Lemuel is that he wrote Proverbs 31. That's it. That's all we know. We really don't know anything else about him. Except he's pretty ingenious. Verses 10 through 31, this section on the excellent wife, is in a Hebrew poetic form called an acrostic. And a Hebrew acrostic means that each verse begins with the consecutive letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So verse 10 starts with the equivalent of the Hebrew letter A. Verse 11, the first letter of verse 11 is the Hebrew letter for B. Verse 12, the first letter would be like C. Okay? So each verse starts with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Okay? That's just the way he wrote this, and it was probably a memory device. You know, it would help you memorize the verses. You think, okay, what verse am I at? Okay. I'm on verse 16, okay, so that's got to be the seventh letter of the alphabet. So you're thinking, no, Dave, 16, that's only the sixth letter. No, 10 is 1, 11 is 2. Okay. So from 10 to 31, there are 22 verses, 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Okay. And what I like to do, because I'm not going to talk about this whole thing, but I would like us to be exposed to it, so I'd like to ask you to stand with me, please, and I'm going to have us read this whole section aloud together in unison. And since you have different translations, if you read it off the screen, we'll all be reading the same thing. And notice how I made the first letter of each verse yellow. That's just a reminder that that's, you know, a Hebrew letter in consecutive order. Okay? Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night, and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household, and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." Thank you. Please be seated. The theme of our study is going to be the excellent wife, taken out of verse 10. And Lemuel uses an interesting word here in verse 10. It is the Hebrew word chayil. Chayil. Okay, you kind of have to roll it off the back of the roof of your mouth. Okay, say it with me. Chayil. And now you need to wipe off the back of the person in front of you. Chayil. It is a very interesting word. It has a range of meanings: valor, excellence, virtue, honor, strength, wealth, value. Chayil is an adjective, and it's describing someone who is a person of great value, of great worth. It is not used of women very often. It's used often of men. King Saul is called Chayil. King David was called Chayil. In the book of Ruth, Boaz, the kinsman redeemer for Ruth and Naomi, Boaz is Chayil. But interestingly enough, Ruth is described as Chayil. She was a woman of good reputation. She was a woman of respect. She was a woman that others admired. These are the only three places here, Proverbs 12, verse 4, where it says, an excellent wife, a chayil wife, is the crown of her husband. Ruth chapter 3, Proverbs 12, and here are the only times that this word is used of women. What I would like to do is look to see what a chayil wife looks like. How could you identify one? How could you, if you are a wife, how could you work toward becoming one? How could you do a checklist to see if you are one? So what I'm going to do is go through, and I extracted from this passage about 11 different characteristics of the chayil wife. The excellent wife, the virtuous wife. Because I suggest that out of a few of these that will refer to family relationships, really these characteristics should be true of any woman. Okay. Now, if you ladies are thinking, "Man, Dave, you're really picking on us here," wait till next week. I am an equal opportunity persecutor. Okay. I'm not going to take these in order. I'm calling in my prerogative as the one presenting this. So I'm going to put them in kind of what I would think would be maybe a bit of a logical order. And I'm going to suggest to you the first qualification for a chayil wife is seen down in verse 30. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears Yahweh, she shall be praised. A woman who fears the Lord. If you are in the market for a wife, this should be qualification number one. This should be qualification number one. We looked at this last week. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39 and 40, Paul talks about a widow, says, you're free to remarry whoever you want, only in the Lord. Remember that corral. Okay. There is a bunch of eligible people, and there is a bunch of ineligible people. And the eligible ones are those who are believers inside the corral. Everybody else is outside the corral. They're off limits. Shouldn't even be a consideration as a date, much less a considered as a possible spouse. As a couple go through life, they will be making crucial decisions. Don't you want your spouse to want to serve God first of all? Don't you want your spouse to have God's concern as their first consideration in any decision you have to make? I would. The excellent wife, the chayil wife, is a woman who fears the Lord. She has put her faith in Jesus Christ as her personal Savior, and she is walking in submission and obedience and adoration to Him. That should be first. That should be a deal breaker. If she's not a woman who fears the Lord, why would you consider marrying her? Earlier, if you want to take just a second, turn back. We're only going to be here in Proverbs 31 except this one verse. Go back to Proverbs 9:10. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. A woman who fears the Lord, she then has the beginning of wisdom. A woman who doesn't fear the Lord is not a wise woman, because she has not put the most important being in all of existence as number one in her life. That's not wisdom to not do that. A woman who fears the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it starts. You want to marry a fool? Marry somebody who doesn't believe in the Lord. Biblically, they're fools. Biblically, they're fools. A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Secondly, she has wisdom and she shares it with others. Verse 26, she opens her mouth in wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She doesn't keep her wisdom to herself. It's not that she is a bossy know-it-all, but she shares wisdom that she has from her years of walking with the Lord, from her years of experience. She shares that wisdom with others. This is something that used to happen naturally in our society, because multiple generations would tend to live together, or they would at least live in near proximity. So young children growing up were exposed not only to the parents, but also to the grandparents who lived nearby, maybe just down the road, maybe on the same property, or maybe in the same house. The young children growing up were exposed not only to the parents, but the grandparents. And they got to absorb the wisdom of those older generations. In case you haven't noticed, that doesn't happen so much these days. So my question is, for us as a church, my question is for us practically, where are the younger women growing up going to receive the kind of instruction and training in wisdom how to be chayil women? Where are they going to get that? Oh, I know. They'll get it by watching TV. I hope you caught the sarcasm that was dripping from that. Okay. The media is probably these days one of the worst places to get instruction about relationships. So where are they going to get good instruction? Well, it's in the Word. Okay. But where are they going to see it fleshed out? Where are they going to see it practically applied? They used to be in schools, home ec classes. Okay? How many of you remember taking home ec, ladies? Okay. Anybody under the age of 30? Well, they're not here. Anybody under the age of 30 remember taking home ec? They don't teach it anymore. Unfortunately, are young ladies being taught these things by their moms? Not usually, because mom's working. Mom's too busy. And, you know, we could have a whole discussion of our economy, the fact that, you know, housing prices, you know, I understand all that. But there are sacrifices that a family need to make in order to be the parents to the children that God gives them to raise. There are sacrifices that have to be made. Linda didn't start working until our youngest child was in school. So she could be home until he went away to school. And then she worked a job that most of the time she was home when they came home. A Chayil woman has great wisdom because she fears the Lord, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But she didn't keep that wisdom to herself. She graciously, gently, not in a bossy, domineering, angry way, but she graciously and gently shares that wisdom with others. And it's not happening in the nuclear family anymore so much. It's not happening in the public schools. So, ladies, guess where it needs to be happening? Right here in the church. This is where younger women growing up can be exposed to Chayil women. Women who fear the Lord, women who have wisdom, women who have been down the road, who have suffered some of the hard knocks of life and can share their experiences with younger girls. Youth group. Other opportunities that we have, fellowship dinners, taking the girls out for lunch. Sharing the wisdom that you have gleaned from Scripture and from your years of walking with the Lord. Because the instruction that they're getting from the world is horrible and dangerous. I would say deadly. Spiritually, it's deadly. Titus gives instructions. The older women are to instruct the younger women. She has wisdom and she shares it with others. This wisdom should manifest itself in her speech, and ideally, younger women should seek her out. They should say, "You know, hey, can I hang out with you for a while? Can I come over to your house and you show me how to, you know, sew my prom dress?" Okay? Last night was prom for Virginia and Katrina. And as you're doing that project with them, just talking with them, trying to provide a counterweight to the junk that they're getting from the world. Ladies, this is a vitally important ministry. Vitally important. A Chayil wife fears the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom. She has wisdom and she shares it with others. Thirdly, she has virtue and integrity. I take that from verse 10, from that word chayil. She has virtue. Not in the sense that we think of the word prude, but in a sense of the word purity. Purity. There's a word that you don't hear much because it's so rare in our society. It speaks of her character, not so much her homemaking skills, an excellent wife, not so talking about she keeps an immaculate house. Not saying that. But she's the kind of woman that people want to be around. People enjoy being around. She shares wisdom that she has gleaned from a life of fearing the Lord and walking in fellowship with Him. She shares what it looks like to be a godly woman in an ungodly age. Paul describes the present age as this present evil age. We need chayil women to stand out in the age that we live in. I'm not saying you have to dress dowdy or frumpy. Okay? You can dress attractively and still be modest. She is faithful and trustworthy. Verse 11, the heart of her husband trusts in her. How important is trust in a marriage? Vital, crucial. And her husband knows at the core of his heart that he can trust her. Because she is a chayil woman. She's a woman of virtue and integrity and honesty. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and she doesn't disappoint him. Because she is chayil. If you don't get anything else out of this message, I want you to leave here saying that word and striving for that quality of life, men and women. Because of that, guys, trust her. I know there are marriages where wife has to give account for every penny she spends. Why? Because husband doesn't trust her. Or the wife has to give account for every minute that she spends. Why? Because part of her husband doesn't trust her. Ladies, you need to be the kind of women that the heart of your husband will trust you. And men, you need to not be so paranoid and not be so controlling. Give her an inch, and she'll bless you. Give her the freedom to be chayil. And let her express that according to her own personality. It'll look different with different wives, different personalities. I'm not saying you have to, you know, we're going to have a cookie cutter mold. Everybody has to look the same. You will express your chayil-ness very personally, individually, and that's okay. That's great. But men, we need to trust our wives. We need to trust our wives. She serves her husband and her family. Verse 11, he will have no lack of gain. Come on down, verse 21. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. She takes care of her family. She provides for them. She meets their needs. Some of you ladies are thinking, I don't even own a sewing machine. How can I do this? It's not so much a specific skill as it is an attitude of ministering to your family, seeing that your family's needs are met, taking care of them. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Why is that? Is this because he is so intelligent? Is this because he is such a good worker? No. Her husband is known in the gate because he's her husband. It is his wife that makes him well known. Men, do you give your wife the respect, the appreciation that they deserve? She's industrious. We have a caricature of, you know, wives that don't work, okay, outside of the home, that they lay around the house all day in their bathrobe and their hair up in curlers. Oh, wait, nobody uses curlers anymore. And watching TV, watching soap operas all day long, right? That's the caricature that we have. They're eating candy, right? Eating chocolate. Verse 13, she looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships and brings her food from afar. Verse 15, she rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She's the one who's up first. So that all the household has breakfast. And they have the clothes that they need. It takes care of that kind of thing. 16. She considers a field and buys it. Okay. This is a woman who has some spending money that's at her disposal. She's not answering to her husband for this. She doesn't go to her husband and say, you know, can I have $10 for this? Because the heart of her husband trusts her, because she's chayil. He can trust her with the checkbook. He can trust her with the credit card. Because she does him no wrong all her life. What does she do? She takes the money and she buys a field. She buys some land and property and then sells it and makes a profit. She's a businesswoman. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Verse 17, she girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. So she's the first one up in the morning, and she may be one of the last ones to go to bed at night. Because she is diligently providing for her family. Diligently providing for her family. She's industrious. Verse 25. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She has strength and dignity. And I'm not talking about, you know, she works out with weights and she's just, you know, chayil is strength of character. But she's not afraid of work either. Okay? She buys that field and she plants a crop and she makes clothes and she makes belts and sells them. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them, supplies belts to the tradesmen. She has strength of character. She's not some, you know, quivering little violet thing, you know. Oh, please take care of me, honey. She's a woman of strength and dignity. Oh, strength and dignity, that's a strange pair. Yeah, this kind of woman's rare. This kind of woman's rare. Strength and dignity. She's capable of handling finances. Verse 14 again, she like merchant ships, she brings her food from afar. 16 through 18, she considers a field, she buys it. Earning, she plants a vineyard. Verse 18, she senses that her gain is good, her lamp does not go out at night. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them, supplies belts to the tradesmen. She is an asset to the family. And she can be trusted with finances. And I don't get the sense that she, you know, has to ask her husband, you know, is it okay if I do this? She has wisdom. She's a smart lady. Plans ahead. Winter doesn't catch her by surprise. Verse 21. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Plans ahead. Verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. Why? Because she's not worried about the future. Because she's taking steps today to see that the future will be taken care of when we get there. She's a wise woman. She's strong. She's independent. So maybe you're thinking, oh, this is one tough lady. She's a tough cookie. Verse 20. She extends her hand to the poor and she stretches out her hands to the needy. Gracious and merciful to people. She takes care of herself to a large extent. She makes sure that her family is prepared for ahead of time. But she doesn't look down her nose at other people that may be less fortunate. Instead, she reaches out her hand to them. Because she has extra money. Notice she's not spending all of her money. She's investing some, she's using some, she doesn't have all of her credit cards charged up to the max so that there's not a spare penny to be able to help anybody else. That's one of the problems people have these days. They would like to be able to help others, but they can't because, you know, we've got all these credit card payments we have to make. She's gracious and merciful and helps the poor and needy. I don't know about you, but I'm really liking this lady. She's the kind of person that I really want to know and respect. She has a good reputation, and it rubs off. Verse 28, her children rise up and bless her. Well, that is except for when they're teenagers. No, I don't see that exception. Because I believe even teenagers will recognize, hey, mom's something pretty special. Mom's pretty special. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also. He praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. How many of you wives would just dearly love to hear your husband say something like that to you? I know I'm dating myself. When I was growing up, there was a TV series called The Honeymooners. Okay. Ralph Kramden and his wife, Alice. There were times when, you know, he'd double up his fist. Okay, bow, zoom, you're going to the moon, Alice. But usually by the end of the episode, he's saying, honey, you're the Honey, you're the greatest. The Chayil wife deserved to hear that. The excellent wife, the Chayil wife, who can find it? Worth is far above jewels. This is not the kind of pattern for growing up that the world is presenting to women. Now, you don't need to be anybody's wife, and you don't need to have a husband, and you know, if you do, let him take care of himself. You watch out for you. Remember I said, it's a whole worldview we're fighting. It's a whole worldview we're fighting. And I know what I've said may sound old-fashioned. It may sound impossible. It may sound outmoded. What I am telling you is that, one, this is possible because God's Spirit is residing in the women in this church. This is possible by God's grace. It is not only possible, it's desirable. And not just for the husband who gets to marry this great lady, but this is a desirable way for the wife to live too and fulfill her ministry to the Lord. Father, I just pray that as we've gone through this passage, that you now, by your Holy Spirit, will cause us to sink into each of our hearts. Help us to understand, Father, the importance of character. That's the main thing this passage is dealing with. As summed up in the word chayil, a combination of virtue and honor and integrity that the world out there laughs at, mocks at, scoffs at, but that you value so highly. Father, may we learn to value the things that you value. And where this doesn't fit with what we've been taught and the way we think the world ought to be, Father, change us. Change us. Thank you, Father, for the Chayil women that we have in our church. May their tribe increase until Jesus comes. I ask it in his precious name.